Hey, Katie.
Hey, Teresa Marie.
You ready to just, well, one, end the week, but two, jump in to this book?
So I'm going to put a disclaimer. I was thinking about this all week and how I wanted to say this. I don't want to call this a taboo romance because there are specific authors out there that write like taboo-ish. Like I'm thinking QB Tyler. She fucking slays a taboo romance, right? Like there's certain people who deliver. I'm not saying Elsie Silver is not, it didn't deliver. But well, I'm no. just saying there's you certain authors yeah. who this is their niche, right?
Yeah, like, this is not this her is niche.
Their passion, this is not her niche. So this was an experiment. Like, and hey, kudos to anyone who wants to try something new. I commend you for stepping out of your comfort zone. I do thoroughly believe that Elsie Silver should step back into her comfort zone.
I was just going to say, I don't think, so we're here to talk Wild Card by Elsie Silver, which is the newest release in the Rose Hill series, but yeah, no, I think that she dabbled in like taboo topics. She did a bad job at making it taboo. And like, she also relied too heavily on what she normally does.
Yes.
So I feel like either like go like balls deep or don't make it taboo. You and I are both not taboo romance fans. So we were worried going in.
Yeah. Exactly.
That we wouldn't like it based on the ex-boyfriend's dad. And I feel like we both read it and didn't like it for other reasons.
I think, let's talk about that for a second. Let's go on that. So let's just pretend this, okay, in my mind, I thought this was going to be, and again, I don't really dabble in the taboo world. To me, I was kind of hoping this was going to be like a clean break, if you will. Like, they maybe you saw the son and her together, if you main character together, then you saw a break of like this that's done, and then we moved on. Even like I would have even been okay if this got like a little muddy, if you will, like mm-hmm. maybe there was, but I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, because again I don't read this, to me a taboo romance would be good if you had strong alpha characters. Like, that's my woman, back the fuck. Like, I'm thinking, like, you're kind of like an egotistical asshole, if you will, but like coming across in a very hot manner. That is not what we got.
And like, I feel like if you're, again, like, ex-boyfriend's dad is never gonna hit for me because I think the thought of it is disgusting. If my dad, you know, say my parents were single or whatever, my dad ended up like fucking one of my brother's ex-girlfriends, like I would literally never speak to him again. I don't care, yes, if my brother was an asshole. I think that that's disgusting. So I was really going in, like trying to
be open
about
it. I was trying to think, but again, like I was trying to think of like, because we've read some darker, weirdy, crazy romances, right? And like people rave about certain authors that write this. Again, like I'm thinking QB Tyler, because like people love her work. And like, there's others out there that like, that I think slay in this area. Wow, millennials using the word slay, who do so well in this area for those who enjoy it. I just don't think we got that. I think she delivered a fucking asshole.
I also think it was just so contradictory. So I've only read one other like boyfriend's or ex-boyfriend's dad books. And I didn't like that either. But I think that the guy was creepy because the girl was like 18. This age gap was like not an age gap to me. Like when they first meet, he's 39, she's 27. That does not bother me. I think that that is like very okay. Like, I'm sorry, when you're in your late 20s, you're a full-blown adult. You can decide to date whoever you want as long as there's not like coercion involved, of course. But a 39-year-old and a 27-year-old, I would not even like blink my eyes at. Maybe it's because
this is just an age gap.
Yeah. So like, to me, I'm like, yeah, technically it's age gap, but like it's not a taboo age gap whatsoever. And then the whole son, like, okay, first of all, I was under the impression that when this series, okay, and again, this can be a timeline issue, that's my own thing. When this series started, the whole like concept of the bowling league is single dads. Clyde is on the team. He doesn't have any kids. Oh, okay. Siri's like, what? Okay, go away. Clyde does not have any kids. He's on the team. I don't care. Clyde's the best character in this entire book. What? Yeah. Okay. I have two things to say. I'm going to reel it back for a second. This is not an Elsie Silver issue. This is probably a Bloom issue. The marketing of this series is so fucking bad. I'm sorry. It has to be called out. It was marketed as four single dads.
Correct.
There is one single dad in this entire series. Correct. Ford is a guardian.
Yes.
This is thrust upon him. He's a sperm donor turned guardian.
Yes.
West is legitimately a single father. He's part-time dad, basically. Reese, not a single dad. He's basically given, like, custody of this child when What's-Her-Face's sister dies, but literally not a single dad. He is, again, this is thrust upon him, and he is immediately then co-parenting.
Yeah.
And again, Bash is not a single dad. He finds out he has a son when he's 39 years old. This kid is already 24.
And he has a family. He has a mom and dad, and he says it in the book.
Yeah, like he was raised by his mom and his not biological father. But again, Sebastian is 39 when he finds out he has a son. This is not a single dad. I'm sorry. If your son is 24, if he found out he had a three-year-old, yes. And now he's co-parenting and like whatever. That's single dad trope. I'm sorry. This is not a single dad. So whatever. So I just had to get that out of the way. Then we find out that Bash is his whole plot is that he wants this relationship with his son, that he always wanted to be a father. And like the experience was taken from him because he had no idea that his ex-girlfriend at 15 years old got pregnant. His ex-wife left. Well, they got divorced because he wanted kids. She didn't. He finds out later that she's remarried and has kids. So his whole thing is like this. I'm 40 now. My relationship with this kid might be my last and only chance to like have that like father son, even though I missed his entire life, basically.
He even shows, let's call it out even further, when they walk through his house, is it Gwen? Is that her name?
Yeah.
When he's showing Gwen the house, you get the glimpse of him kind of showing off rooms where he envisioned the children would be. So like, this man just wants to be a dad. That's all he wants.
And again, yes, was Tripp a 24-year-old slightly dude? But I didn't think anything Tripp did was, like, that terrible to warrant, like, anything. Like, people were like, oh, he's such a little asshole, he's such a dick. I'm like, he's a kid who's been lied to his entire life, who at 24 finds out that his dad isn't his biological father. His parents, unfortunately, I think he was raised with a silver spoon in his mouth, and his parents, like, never really, like... But he didn't come off like a bad guy. He had douchey moments, but like not overtly where I was like, fuck this kid. Where like Clyde.
Yes.
Like that was the thing too. Like everybody. So whatever. So Bash is like basically he's making excuses for himself. Like, oh, it's okay if I like, you know, fuck his ex-girlfriend because he didn't deserve her anyway because he's a douche. And then he has like his friends in his life being like, yeah, that's fine.
So these are my main complaints. All you want is a relationship with your son. And I'm with you. He's a 24-year-old who is a professional athlete with a lot of money, who was raised with money. Nature versus nurture, right? Like this kid grew, he's a product of his environment. Sure, he's had a couple of egotistical moments. He was calling Gwen his girlfriend without like confirming with her.
Right.
Let's time to like, okay. Sure, he didn't really understand who Gwen was when he showed up with a diamond brace and flowers. But in his defense, let's look back, he was trying to make amends. And it just keeps getting pointed out that in Bash's monologue, he's only doing this because he's pissed off that he's being rejected. And this is what he thinks he needs to do. And like, don't get me wrong. Like, sure, that might be what he's thinking. But if you so badly want to be his parent,
yeah.
I think like to me, like thinking of me as a mother, I would need to step back, right? What is more important to me?
Right.
This one person that I just met, and hey, maybe time heals wounds, maybe something down the road could come about. But to me, like, you know, I really just want a relationship with my child. Let me just put my feelings and wants aside. Because I'm sorry, that is a parent.
That's sacrificing as a parent.
And there's a couple of different comments that he makes in the book where he's almost like, I almost wish I didn't meet this kid, or, you know, this isn't what I really want to be doing in parenting. Guess what? You don't fucking, like, you made a kid.
Okay, he's a 24-year-old. He needs nothing from you. You find out you did not have to enter his life. You do not have to have a relationship with him. No one is forcing this. In Bash's own words, he wants this.
Yes.
And it's hard and it's difficult and it's uncomfortable. And he's making excuses like, oh, well, because like he's kind of a douche, like I don't feel bad not telling him that I'm sleeping with his ex.
The fact that he continually said in his head, well, I saw her first, and then used the line on him. And again, it is caught that he's in his head. He's like, I know it's childish. Are you fucking kidding me?
It's insane. Like, you're 40 years. That's the thing too. This is a 40-year-old man, basically like at war, like internally, like at war with his 24-year-old son. Yes. And like again, everybody in his life is like making excuses. Like Reese is like, oh well, if they only dated for a short amount of time, and like you're not that close with him, then like does it matter? Like, yeah, it's so fucking. If Sebastian said I don't care about a relationship with him, that would change things. The fact that the whole time he was like, I want a relationship, I want a relationship, I want a relationship, and then he's going and acting like this as a 40-year-old man, that's like what really pissed me off.
I agree. And I'm sorry. Not one of your friends is gonna everyone backed him. Oh, go after what you want. Don't lose her. All this. What?
Like, I also just like didn't believe that they were truly in love. That I was like, oh, you know what? Like, love conquers all. They have one chance encounter in an airport where he's like finally towards the end, kind of opening up and letting himself have fun with her. Then they don't see each other for 8 months. They see each other at his son's birthday. He punches a hole in the wall because he's so mad about it. Grow the fuck up. One.
Yes.
Control your temper. Then it's months again until they see each other again when she moves to Rose Hill. And for months, again, he avoids her. When she shows up, he leaves. He ignores her. He's flat out mean and rude to her. Like, when he comes home and the raccoon is like, whatever. Again, I think he had like kind of a point, like, why are you fucking feeding raccoons right outside of my house? But like the way that he treats her and belittles her, I was like, what is the attraction here?
No, like, what are you seeing? What are you seeing? I just feel like he's like a, oh, woe is me. And again,
always the victim.
And Clyde even said, like, someone said, like, oh, like, he's never been like picked first, or so you have a pick me fucking attitude. Like,
yeah.
Again, we're talking about a woman's feelings here, right? Like, no one deserves to be belittled, put down, made to feel that way, ignored. Like, you deserve the attention that you want to get from the person that you are falling for or have interest in. And as for a child, like, even their argument when it all blows up, if someone turned to me and they were like, I saw her first, or didn't have the balls to talk to me about something, but like, and Trip was valid in all of his points, like
100%.
And like, he kept trying, right? Like, again, for a kid who was brought up, he keeps showing up.
He was awkward about texting and calling, but he was showing up to spend time with him.
He tried to turn back around and talk to her. And again, I know it was unwarranted, but like, I will even say, and I get this as a little like touchy, right? Like, when he shows up with the presents for
the birthday. Yeah.
I don't really understand why people couldn't just respect the two of them. And I understand maybe why Gwen wanted someone to back her up, right? Because like, you don't have an interest. You don't want to come across as having an interest. You want, sometimes a female wants like a support, ask like someone there to support her in case it's needed. And I can understand that. But I also feel like they kind of like made him feel like shit in that moment.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. Like, oh, you're going to like this. Like, yeah, okay, you have a little bit of a douchey comment right there. Like, it's, you obviously don't know who Gwen is if you're giving her a tennis bracelet and these flowers. But like, I just feel like everyone was against this kid when you can also just very politely just be like, I really appreciate you coming over here and trying, but like, there's nothing to try for. Like, you know what I mean? Like, treat someone the way you want to be treated. It'd be different if he was creepy. It'd be different if he was like kind of stalkerish, like giving weird vibes that make someone feel uncomfortable. But I don't think he didn't cross that line of making someone feel uncomfortable.
No, he just like was kind of a dick occasionally. But Bash, I feel like, was so much worse.
I agree.
So I was like, why would I root for Bash over Trip? Not that I was rooting for Trip and Gwen, like whatsoever. But like, why would I be rooting for Bash? Like, if I think Bash is worse than Trip, like, I don't know. Like, at least, like,
just being a 24-year-old.
Literally, he was just being a kid.
Yeah.
Like, figuring his way out.
Yes.
Like,
and, like,
through life.
Again, spoon in his mouth, handed it to him. Like, it's, you figure out very quickly. He's quite the mama's boy. Mama does whatever she needs for him. But again, he's at least trying to stand on his own two feet by showing up to talk to his biological father, by showing up and maybe trying to make amends with Gwen. And again, if it was portrayed in like, I'm trying to be creepy and I'm crossing a line, I can understand that. But at no point in time had he ever come across that way. He's just coming across as being a 24-year-old.
Yeah, like an idiot, a dumb boy.
Thank you for being a dumb boy idiot. But like all of his friends are against him, and it's just the comment for there is they know our origin story. We saw each other first in a one night.
Also,
are you fucking kidding me?
I'm sorry if that's Mike. And again, I get it. I get that they just met like a year and a half ago. But why are you allowing all these people to like talk shit about the son that you allegedly want to have? Yes. Why are you not defending him? Like, hey, I know that he like comes across this way, but like I'm still really getting to know him. Like, why would you talk shit about somebody's kid right in front of them? And then that person, like the parent, be like, take it as like, yeah, see, like he is kind of a dick. It doesn't matter if I fuck his ex. Or why not just be a 40-year-old adult and have a conversation? Hey, I like have always wanted to be a father. I really want a relationship with you. I really want to be in your life. At your birthday party, like I was thrown for a loop because the girl that you were there with, I had met her and like we had had like a connection. Now she's living in my hometown and like things are whatever, feeling the certain way. Like I just want to let you know that I'm going to pursue things with her, but I hope it doesn't affect our relationship. Oh, be an adult. And I understand it's a book and there needs to be a plot, but like it was just such a flimsy plot that like I just like was like, what? First of all, the only thing that Bash liked about Gwen was that she was hot. Like, I'm sorry. All of his internal monologue is about, like, her body or, like, just he can't control himself. And then, I just feel like it was all over-sexualized.
Yes. If anything, he sounds a little more creepy.
Right. No, that's what I'm saying. Like, I just did not like him. And in the beginning, I was like, okay, there's some promise. I could, like, kind of see after, like, the airport. I'm like, okay, there was chemistry. It was, like, kind of cute. He's grumpy. She's sunshine. And then, because I know we were texting, you were like, I don't think I like it. I'm like, no, I'm giving it a chance. Like, it's not that bad. Like, there's some good moments. And then I got to 50% and I was like, fuck this book.
Lie to you. If we didn't have to do a podcast episode on this book, I would have probably DNF'd at 30%. I thought this was crap from the get-go.
Yeah.
You know, I'm all for people trying something new, dabbling in different things. I personally don't understand how people are rating this 5-star saying this is their favorite book. I'm a little confused on that.
Worst Elsie Silver book I've ever read. And I've read them all.
Same. Every single one that she's written, we've read. This was hands down awful. No shade to Elsie Silver. I mean,
no, hey, I love her. I'm going to read her next book. I just think this was bad. Reading.
I just don't like it. I mean, when people say they like it. Sorry. I don't know. Like, I'm with you. And from the get-go, it was being projected incorrectly. It's not single fathers, all of them. I just don't think this was... I think she was trying to get like a fun taboo romance, right? You're trying to dabble in something different with each. And I admire that, to try something new, because I think it's... No one likes to try anything new, right? No one wants to color outside the lines that they've kind of... She's small town romance. She's trying to do something a little different in these small town romance books. And I think that speaks volumes. But I just... In this instance particularly, I would not go taboo ever again. Unless you're going to, if you're going to color outside the lines, color outside them.
Yeah, it was just. Don't
try to bring it into like what you just did. I just.
Yeah, or just like I don't know. They're like, nothing worked for me. Like, what worked for me was Clyde and Gwen's relationship. Even the whole Clyde is recovering from a kidney transplant. Amazing. Like, the one good thing Bash did was donate his kidney to Clyde. And I understand that Clyde was like, oh, I need to stay with Bash and I need help. Like, he was like maneuvering behind the scenes. But the minute that Gwen found out that she would, like, why did she have to sleep there? He didn't need help throughout the night. Why not just, oh, when Bash is at work, can you come over and like hang out and like check on me throughout the day?
Or I'm just really confused. Why didn't then he move back into his own home and have Gwen live there with him? And then
he was trying to get them in the same house together. So I get from that perspective. I don't get why she agreed to it.
I agree.
It felt weird. It was forced proximity, obviously, because we needed to get these two together, but it felt like forced proximity. forced proximity in a cute way. It was like,
even the ending, I can't relate to Gwen on any kind of level. She was not my most favorite female main character. No. But even in the end, I had to like laugh. So like, we have an aerial firefighter, right? Like, dangerous job. When it's kind of almost like a hurricane, not a hurricane, but you know what I mean? Like, I'm equating it in terms of our evacuation strategies, right? If you're being told to get the fuck out, you get the fuck out. You listen, right? So everyone's making their efforts to, you know, get the horses out with the farms, the trailers. We got friends helping each other out, which is awesome. And I understand Like, Gwen went back to Clyde's house, and I think it is admirable. But life doesn't stop when you're fighting fires to just rescue one human being. I'm sorry.
No.
That does not happen at all.
Very selfish.
Like Hurricane Sandy vibes. I will never forget sitting at my counter and Chris Christie screaming to the TV,
yeah,
get off the fucking barrier islands because we can't come to get you. It's the same concept, right? Like, you cannot put our first responders at risk because you are choosing to do something stupid.
Or we can't not, like, they had, like, he was on the phone, he was screaming, he got Bo, of course. But, like, now you're diverting other people from getting help because this one person who was dumb and went into a zone where there's,
and it wasn't like running back to save a human being. You know what? I'd say fuck it. Like, if I found out, like, if my children for some reason were left behind,
right,
I will fucking sacrifice life and limb to get back to them. I'm not talking about that type of instance. And I understand I think of my mom who, like, I don't want to say she ran with my grandma and like her sister from like their biological father, but like,
yes, yeah,
they like kind of fled. So my mom had one photo album. So like, I know for her, like that one photo album is literally all she has of her childhood. So like,
yeah,
I understand the value there, but so I can understand why, right? You're wrapping your brain around, but at the same time too, it's a book. I'm like, why are you doing
this? No, also on that same idea though, they find out that the forest fires are happening. Bash leaves. She goes back to the house. Her and Clyde hang out for a few hours. They
Why
go
didn't
to
she
bed.
Go earlier?
She can fall asleep. She goes, go at 5 p.m. Don't wait until 7 hours later when the fire's closer. Like,
yeah,
that was the thing that pissed me off too. It was like, she could have just went directly from the bar,
yeah,
right there, grabbed his shit, and went
and
back. Instead, she waits until like the last possible minute.
Yeah.
It was just stupid. And then I'm like looking at my quotes now and I'm like, cause I'm like, I started highlighting things that were just like, ew, or like pissed me off. And it's Bash talking again about Trip to Gwen. And he's like, that poor kid waxed poetic about you all night for all the wrong reasons, but still I had to sit there and pat his back over it. And do you know what I was thinking about the entire time? That he was a fool to let you get away, but it was just as well because I could fuck you better. Imagine saying this about your kid.
No,
this is what I'm saying.
I just can't. I can't get behind it. And maybe it's a me issue. I'm sorry. Maybe it's a me issue. I just can't get behind this.
There's something so sick, right?
Yeah, no, I'm not. We found out early on what we liked and what we didn't like. But I also think it's how this was portrayed, right? Like, Trip was like, I don't want to say the word lingering because it makes him sound creepy, but he was still, he was present throughout, which makes sense because he wants a relationship, but like present for trying to be with Gwen too. Like, I think it would have been okay for Bash to try to pursue.
Mm-hmm.
But then the minute he saw Trip trying also, I'd be like, okay, we need to back off.
Or again, just have, and I think that would have been better too. If Bash, because again, like the plot could have just like gone differently. Bash could have had the conversation. It could have been that's the thing too. This could have been so fucking juicy, so fucking filled with tension, where it's like these two people want each other, but like they're both like, no, we can't do that to this kid. And like you just are getting like all this tension and this like good. Then you have Bash go to Trip and tell him, and Trip is like, no, fuck you. If you do this with her, then like you're not having a relationship with me. And that's causing the turmoil. And then finally, like something happens and like whatever. That would have been great.
Even like I'm not trying to compare it to Left of Forever, but like during that whole timeline, it's not just in a month or two. Like,
no.
you're getting like a span of like a year. Like, that's, I'm with you. Like, we could have had something so juicy if this was, they had that one chance encounter. Sure, they meet again later. They're like, this isn't, like, we got to stay away. Like, maybe we bring up some like holidays, right? Like, where they see each other, they completely avoid each other.
Yeah.
Maybe Trip questions his dad, like, do you not like my girlfriend? And he's like, nah, man, I don't. Maybe
yeah.
She, like, you know what I mean? Like, I would have loved to see like those instances.
Or why isn't she a traveling nurse instead of a yoga instructor? And then that
yeah.
makes sense. Oh, they did. She could have been like, oh, I'm hired to be like a personal nurse for this old man.
Yeah.
By the way, I move in and now it's my ex-boyfriend's dad is also there recovering. That
True,
makes
yeah,
more
like that.
Sense
that
for the plot.
Yeah.
And now it makes more sense why she's there. It makes more sense why there's all this tension. Like, also on his
living, like, aspect.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, there's just so much more. Like, we shouldn't at all get away from me. Maybe there's like some late night dinners there where they're talking about his health and how he's doing.
Yeah. And like, there should have been like, oh, like light brushes of like a hand or like, whatever. It goes from 0 to 60 where all of a sudden they're playing strip poker.
Literally.
And also that pissed me off about Gwen too, because you know that this man is struggling and like he opens up to you.
Yes.
She's purposely like taunting him.
Yes.
And again, that's fine. That's hot. That can be very sexy. But like that is not now love to me.
Know that like this man is really struggling morally and in his mind of minds, like, should I do this? Should I not do this? I want a relationship with my son, but like I want this girl too. Like,
and like
you're right, like this could have been if you're gonna do the single dad trope, if you're gonna not even that, but you're gonna do the age gap and the not even the age gap, but like what's the fucking purpose of this book? Oh,
ex-boyfriend's dad.
If you're gonna do it, give us something juicy, intentiony, and like make me salivate over this, make me beg for it to happen. I
make
would not
me like be like, oh my god, I don't even care if Tripp's the nicest kid on the planet, I need these two to fuck. Like I never felt like that. And then, okay, and then let's talk about them fucking for a minute. So it's Gwen's birthday. Tripp shows up. They have like whatever happens in the morning. Later on that day, they're having a party at the house. Tripp is there. So it's literally Tripp, Clyde, Bash, Gwen, and then six other people, like the other couples from the other books. So there's like less than 10 people at this house. They sneak away to go fuck, basically. I'm like, they think they're being. I'm like, you're trying to hide this from your son who's literally downstairs in a house full of strangers who don't really like him, who know something's going on with you and Gwen, and you disappear for what, 20 to 45 minutes? Like, I'm just, you know, thinking how long it normally takes. You know what I mean? Like, and that's not weird that the two of you are missing and what, you're going to come downstairs red and sweaty?
Yeah. It's weird.
And like, you're not, again, like, it's just, it was so stupid. I'm like, you people are just fucking dumb.
Yes.
And it wasn't hot to me, like, oh, they might get caught. Like, no.
Again, if you wanted a party scene, have, like, a fucking party scene. Like, we're talking, like, 50-plus people. Like, somehow
where it's, like, easier to sneak away. And like,
yeah, again, like, there's, I think there's ways to write the tension-filled moments. And this just wasn't it. Also, I will say, I very much understand that some people can be a little different in the bedroom, right? Like, you're in the moment, things are heating up. I just also don't think the way he was speaking to get Gwen correlates back to like the sad boy attitude that he had. And
we said this is about Jasper and Powerless. The bedroom did not match the personality that we were like knowing in the dialogue.
Maybe you feel a little confident behind closed doors when a girl really wants you. Like, I'm all for like there being a little bit of a change. But I was when I was listening to it, I was like, this just doesn't. No, this would not be Bash.
No, no. Well, yeah, how cute for you, Gwen, bouncing from dick to dick. Oh, no, that's what his son said to him. He had every right. I was like, did he say that to her?
I think the blow up was in Tripp's favor, personally. I think Bash was being a little bitch about it.
Also, I know if that was me. So like, say that was me and like my mom was fucking my ex-boyfriend. I don't care. In that situation, you can say anything you want to say. You have every right to go to get as fucking dirty as you want.
Yes.
That's fucked up.
Yes.
So like,
they're not my cup of tea, but if you're going to do it, I feel like she was trying to write a taboo romance to your point earlier, Teresa, and like putting it in her small town romance box of what she, and the way she typically delivers. Like,
yeah.
And I'm sorry. I think there's just certain instances. Maybe you can. I just think for this one in particular, you can't, because it has to be something that, like, to your point, make us yearn for these two to be together to the point where, like, we don't even give a fuck about Tripp. I didn't care about Tripp, but, like, at the same time, too, I was like, you're literally crushing your son's.
They like, should not.
Had going with your son, it's out the door.
They should have had, like, long lingering touches and, like, stares from across the room and, like, really intimate conversations that, like, had maybe some, like, tension undertone. And then there should have been a kiss that is, like, no, we can't do this. And then they should have, like, not fucked until, like, 70%.
No, like, it should have been the slowest fucking burn.
Burn it. Like, drag it out. That we're, like, to the point where the reader then is, like, I don't care about his son. Who cares about his son?
Yes.
But the whole time I'm, like,
I wasn't going to write this. This was not tension-filled at all. I didn't feel it in the least bit.
No, I think that the plot was weak. I think the characters were weak. And then, like, the character growth, right? So, Bash, no character growth. He finally gets to a point after his first time that he goes out, after the surgery, he comes back and he is like mentally and emotionally drained, where he like literally, I think, like has like a breakdown. Like he just cannot. And he says that he like calls, I guess, like for like therapy, and like he's talking to somebody, whatever. And like you see like a little bit of development after that. And then the birthday stuff happens and the blow up happens. The birthday stuff happens, whatever. Trip leaves. He comes back. He catches them together. There's a big blow up. At that point, Sebastian has to leave to go to another fire. And when he comes back, he's like, oh, I'm going to surprise Gwen. And he sees Gwen and Trip like at like the diner or something, and they're hugging. And he immediately reverts back to his childish behavior. And again, I was like, okay, so all that like little like inch of development
is gone.
Gone. And it's like, he's just back to being his like bit. Insecure loser yeah. self.
Yeah.
And that's that.
Yeah. I mean, I like when Gwen puts him in his place, but like, I don't know. I just, this is one of those relationships where like, if you laid out couples in front of me of Elsie Silver's books, I do not believe they're going to last.
No.
I don't believe in the romance. I don't believe in the relationship. I don't believe that they're going to make it.
No, not even for a single second. Like the divorce in a few years.
Yes.
She'll find somebody better who actually appreciates her and treats her right.
Yes. Who doesn't think she's like cheating or doing anything behind his back, treats her nicely, and lets her feed her raccoon babies if she really wants to. Yeah. Like,
and like another thing about her too, she's like, oh, I want, and I understand that like her thing was that she kind of feels like she has to keep moving because she like doesn't want to get, and then like when she's like with Bash, she's like, oh, like I can finally put roots down. But I kind of wanted her to like keep traveling. She even has that whole conversation with Tabitha about like, Tabitha's like, yeah, Reese is on the road. Like, we're not together 24/7.
Yeah.
And like, it's like, okay, yeah. Like, you're allowed to go do those things. You don't, just because you're with him doesn't mean you have to, you can't also go to Costa Rica for a month and teach yoga there. Like, yeah. And instead she's just like, oh, I turned down the position and I'm just going to stay here.
So I'm like, I think she should still could have gone, even if like he went in the end, like, and like saw her for like a week or something like that. Like, I don't know. It was just one of those books where I was like, this isn't believable.
Yeah.
And nothing like is believable.
Nothing's believable. And then you have like the end too. So when she's meeting up with Trip and Bash like sees them, and then like she comes home and he's like being a complete fucking dick to her. She's again just being so nice and understanding. So she's like basically says, we're not going to work out if you can't make amends with your son.
Yeah.
And he's like, what's that supposed to mean? And she's like, it means that our foundation will always be off kilter if you can at least try to work things out with him. She basically is like, you're just not going to talk to him. You're going to pretend he doesn't exist. Like that doesn't, like that's never going to work. And then Sebastian's like, well, I highly even doubt he wants to talk to me. Like he's just being
he's being a little bitch.
If he doesn't want to talk to you, then you force him to talk to you because you're the one who's in the wrong. And Gwen says like, we hurt him. He's your son. So you have to try anyway. You never, like, you can never give up on him if you want a relationship. Why is she telling him this?
The story with children is you can never give up on them. Like, regardless if they're in the wrong or they're right, like, you still, I mean, I think it depends on how wrong you are in. But, like,
yeah.
I think there's a fine line of, like, I can understand some aspects. But, like, you are in the wrong here. So, like, you need to keep chasing your child, like, to get them to talk to you.
But why is the 27-year-old girlfriend telling you this when your entire plot as this 40-year-old is, like, that you want this relationship and you'll do, like, you'll basically do whatever to make it work, and the first sign of whatever, again, he's just reverting back to just, like, oh, shutting down and running away.
Yeah. Also, there's never really any, it's a light explanation of why he's, like, so pick me last, I guess, vibes. Mm-hmm. But there's nothing, I think, of substance or explained well besides the girlfriend leaving. I'm sorry, dude. How many times do you hear of people being together saying that they don't want kids, or the other one does maybe, or whatever the case may be, so you split. And then all those years later, when you somehow see them again, it's a different situation.
Also, like, he didn't know this at first. He found out about her having kids after Tripp's birthday when he saw Gwen and Tripp together. So it wasn't so like this, like, has been weighing on him for years. Like,
no.
And again, I'm sure that hurts. I'm sure that that sucks.
It does suck, I'm sure. But like, this is what's holding you down? Like, yeah. No. Like, you just found out about it. So like, what else has there been? And you didn't know about Trip either. So you had no idea your son was out there for all that long. And again, there's a lot to like process after the fact. But like, especially with having a son that you didn't know for like half your life. But what else happened in your life that you are like this? That like, that is...
As a 40-year-old person, you're so nasty. That's what it is. Like, he's just nasty.
I also just, I don't know, maybe this is just my mentality, but like, just because people treat you the same way doesn't mean I'm going to regurgitate it back out to the world, right? Like, being negative is taxing. Yeah. And it does dictate a lot of your life. So like, personal choice here. even if someone's gonna be a complete fucking dickhead to me, and maybe I'm like, when do I catch a fucking break? I'm still not gonna be a dickhead to other people.
No, we said that. I mean, like,
you attract what you give.
And also, not to relate this back to Court of Silver Flames, but we've said this about Nesta before. Like, just because bad things happen to you does not give you free reign to be horrible to people.
Correct.
And that's why I think I have an issue with Bash, because, like, even at times when I was like, okay, like, he's being cute here or whatever, like, then he just reverts back to being an asshole. Like, there was just no character growth at all for him. And then right at the end, like, it's because she's, like, in danger that he's finally like, oh my god, I love you and I want to be with you. Like,
yeah, like, what? I don't know. And again, I only have a 2 and a 1-year-old. They are not adults. They're not, like, I've never gone through the high school age kids. Like, so I get, maybe there's a certain aspect that I can't relate to. But, like, at the end of the day, like, I look at my children, I'm like, I would literally risk my life for you. Like, I would rather sacrifice myself than have anything happen to you.
And I get that he probably doesn't feel that way because he didn't, he like just met him. And it's not like an instantaneous like feeling of like, oh my God, I need to protect.
But again, if you've been preaching this whole book.
But that's the thing.
Yeah. Like maybe you won't have those like serious guttural instincts, but like you kind of have to have something if you want to like maintain a relationship with
these guys. If he didn't wax poetic about wanting this relationship and trying so hard and like Trip doesn't give him like anything, blah, blah, blah. Then I would be like, whatever, who cares?
Do what you want.
But, like, the whole time he's like, oh, well, like, I text Trip and, like, he like, you know, he only talks to me about hockey.
Answers, yeah, or, like, oh, I'm getting, like, okay.
And I know that that's annoying, but, like, you either have to, like, that's nature. Like, why should, same thing with Gwen, why should she be the one who's always, like, putting her hand out to you?
Yeah.
Why can't you be, like, the bigger person and be the one that has to try a little bit and get out of your comfort zone? I don't know. He pissed me off. Clyde loved Clyde. Anytime Weston Belmont was on page, I was high as a kite. But it was just bad. It was straight up bad. I gave it 2 stars. It was probably not 2 stars. It was probably like 2.5. But it pissed me off. It
pissed me off. I was so heated. There was a couple instances actually. So Monday morning, because we were supposed to record Tuesday. Oh, yes. No, I'm sorry. So Monday morning I had to keep moving my long run back because Liam decided this whole weekend that he didn't need to sleep. So I was like, I kept waking up at 5 and I was like, there's no way I can run 17 miles on like 2 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
Finally, Tuesday rolls around. I was like, I'm going to give something a go. But okay, so we were going to record on Tuesday. I hadn't even finished on Tuesday. I still had, I think I went the entire time I ran, it's like the entire time I listened. And I finished a little bit afterwards at work. So, like, I had, like, hours left. I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do with this. Like, do I really DNF another book this close to DNF? I was like, I don't think I could do this.
No, sometimes it feels good to just, like, to hate finish a book.
So, I'm not going to lie. I was like, I'm going to actually channel my inner Teresa. I was like, I hate this book right now so much that I do need to finish it. So, when we talk shit about it, I could talk about it because I finished it. I mean, zero disrespect to Elsie Silver, because I think she's a great...
This is nothing to do with her, but again, I'm not going to just, because I like her and I like her other books, like not give an honest review. That's never going to happen. I talked to somebody recently who saw that I posted like a negative TikTok about it, and they texted me and they were like, oh, like I don't want to review it because like I don't... But she doesn't want Elsie to see that it's like a bad review, but she didn't like it. And I was like, okay. And I get it because like these people do follow us sometimes and like, or like they see content and it's like hard because you don't want to be like blacklisted by one of your favorite authors. But
I also think there's a way to deliver a review, right? Like,
yeah, mine wasn't nice.
Podcast got a little unnice. I mean, I don't think my review wasn't, but I think that's the thing of it, right? I'm not coming after Elsie Silver. I'm just saying
after these stupid characters that she created.
But that's a different, like you're not calling Elsie Silver stupid and that she's writing a shit. You didn't like the story. And I think that's the difference. You're allowed to not like things.
Yeah.
That's okay. Like, is it going to hurt? Maybe if someone reads it, sure. But like, I don't expect things that I do all the time for people to like or dislike. And if someone's like, hey, you put out work that I didn't like, that doesn't mean they didn't like me. It just means that they didn't like what I wrote.
Or right. It's not like we're going to like tag her or like anything. So.
No, I don't. Yeah. Like if she wants to scroll through Goodreads and read all those comments, that's on Elsie Silver.
Yeah, please, babe, don't do that. If you're listening, sorry.
I don't think she is.
I don't think she is either. She's like, we're not on her radar. anyway, not great. Next week, we're reviewing The Secret of Secrets by Dan Brown, which I'm halfway through. So I have a lot of reading to do this weekend.
I have 5 hours left of the book, the audiobook.
It's like too smart for me.
It's too smart for me too.
Not in a bad way, but like I've been tabbing things where I'm like, this is so interesting. I have no idea what any of it means.
I almost wish I was reading it because like in the first beginning, there's something mentioned and I of course automatically looked it up. But there's so many things that I wanted to like research. No, I'll say it for next week. Where'd you go? You stopped the recording. Yeah, I can still hear you. I mean, you could just quickly record. I don't think we're not. Well, now you just left.
Weird. Sorry. And my headphones, like, it's coming through. Like, I don't know what happened. I was going to say that I tabbed something specifically for you, but we'll talk about it next week.
Yeah, I don't know. I was, like, thinking about how I wanted to, like, go back and review certain things because it's a lot of info.
Yeah.
I might have to just rely on you to, like, bring up certain topics and then, like, go from there.
Yeah.
Like, I have to listen because I won't read it in time. But I'm like, there's just so much I want to discuss.
Yeah, no, there's like a lot going on. So we'll discuss that next week. And then we have a tentative October calendar, which we'll definitely firm up and then let you guys know. But read Mate, definitely, and Alchemy of Secrets. I just don't know when we're going to do them. We have to like, we might be interviewing an author. Anyway, that's all I have. And I think that's all Katie has. No, yeah. So... if you're ready, you can send us out.
Thank you so much for listening to our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to subscribe to receive notifications anytime a new episode drops.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at thebff.bookclub. If you have any comments, questions, book recommendations, or books you want us to talk about in future episodes, please send us an email at thebff.bookclub1@gmail.com.
We appreciate your support.
See you, suckers.